It's very nice to be here this evening. I don't get to read except every 2 years, but that's like letting a cavewoman out of her cave. I guess it's all right. The first poem, May You Be Blessed. I sliced oranges into wide quarters and thought about the segments of life, not every portion perfect, but portions like unto seasons. Spring wept with seeds. Summer's flesh was plump and succulent. Fall's section of the rind was burnished, unapologetic. Wise and amber brown. Winter with white inner sectioning was hard, relentless. Through all of life's seasons, its ups and downs. May you be blessed. May you know honey dripping without skipping a beat or an important experience. May your children be miracles. May your journey be correct and lyrical. May you be blessed and given time to do everything that is sublime, to have a body and face not aged by anything but maturity and grace. May you be loved by family, friends, and the Lord above. May you have the contentment of success, not the resentment of failure. May every worked for day be just another layer, example of your earnest worth and the time you have spent on this earth. May you be blessed. And sometimes in my life I've noticed, I'm aware that I've been blessed, that I've been through things in life that a lot of people haven't been through, and those things have let me know that, at least for me, Judy always gets me on this one, there is a God, and that he helps you. Recently, what I've been doing is I've been reading poems, and they've been by African-American writers, but those African-American writers have been younger African-American writers. So what they've been writing about has been racism, but their form of racism is a hell of a lot different than mine. Their idea of racism can be something like maybe someone saying, hey, you're black, or something like that. I come from the 1960s. I was born in 1957, and the racism was different. It was more extreme. It was more brutal. And I'm hoping that you don't mind me sharing these poems, but the 1960s I feel is a nice era for people to see that difference, and the eras before that to hear that difference. Sharing the poems is great for me because I think it's nice for me to say those things that people usually keep quiet about racism. And the first poem is dedicated to Merle Hudson Jr. and to my sister Evelyn Kitchen Stevens. The placement of black flowers. Someday, if I could, I would not lean into oldness as I do now. I would walk the high hills of Wilkinsburg near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to where I was beaten brutally and raped when I was 9 years old by a white man and his red-haired son, and at least two other men, most probably more, were members of the KKK, and placed flowers there. Flowers for my fractured ribs, some which needed removed later, for concussions, for the child my womb was too violated to carry due to attempted gelding, and the ones that could. I would place flowers at the place in me that responded to the teen boy's need for forgiveness when I turned 18, and my forgiving him for reasons only the human in us both will ever understand. I would acknowledge my personal understanding of racism and how it feels to have it pummeled and violated into your body by someone so much bigger than you and male, then still have those who do not understand how you suffered, how old your body became, and the somber quiet of the new you instead of a child who laughed and played, hit you again and again throughout life with the word nigger, disenfranchisement, and general hatred, not knowing you see their face very clearly and know they would murder you if they could simply over their beliefs and conceptualizations and never see the ugliness of that hatred. I would place flowers at the place where the hateful say, I am not comfortable with that poem, shifting in their seats, aware of their personal cruelties against other races, ethnicities, religions, genders, black roses for nightmares, blood red roses for blackened eyes, torn petals for a gouted uterus, scarred and tormented along with my bowel tract, the navel that needed reconstructed and other surgeries so I could have a full life, simple daisies for never having children through love or true marriage, white roses for two white girls who led me to that violent sidewalk in broad daylight, then changed their minds and stayed standing on the lawn for 2.5 hours while I was raped in the teen boy's house, then began begging for my life when he placed me back on the sidewalk, and him relenting and letting me go, saying, "Get up, nigger, just go before I change my mind." And I said, "Thank you." And I went grateful, blood streaming down my legs. I went knowing the shotgun was still trained on me from a window by his father, and that crucifying me had been discussed by them because I wore a cross. I went, a little girl, noting a beautiful deep pink carnation bush on my way home, the scent of honeysuckle, holding my fractured ribs and weeping but awed by a butterfly, by the soft textures of my stepmother's skin and her softly bow-shaped lips. Just happy to see home, glad to see my mother ever again. Flowers for the sweet Italian girl right before me just for being ethnic and Catholic. I will place flowers for living past many things, but due to them, not knowing quite who you would have been instead of who you are. Apologetic baby's breath for the child me, and then let the petals, soft petals, smooth petals, those infant petals, the pink petals trail behind me back down the hill to a knowledge of race I hope no one else will ever have again. Though I learned the stories of cruelty to black women in the South again and again, many of those women dead, destroyed. Survival is the first step to healing, to reestablish joy in life. Be alive, be alive, be alive. Place flowers there, many, many flowers. Flowers for the moonlight and the daylight, for the precious rain, for the taste of compassion, for the first man who touches you romantically, endearingly, when you grow up. Flowers. Some people wouldn't agree with this poem. They'd say, this is too corny. Some things about the blessing of my life have been corny. You know, I was a jokester in school, and so when people found out this aggressive thing had happened to me, they said, well, she's mostly quiet and she's a jokester. She's not really, you know, an aggressive person. So this is a poem about what happened when I went back to school. Love confronts hatred. If you go back to where you were sometimes, those who love you will greet you. After my body began to heal with my broken arm in a sling and my rib area bandaged, I was sent back to school before anyone knew I was pregnant, and fellow students applauded when I entered the classroom. I simply sat, but after being beaten at home for some sin I did not commit, the hugs felt good. Many of the children that helped me were white. I cried later when I was alone and wondered how hugs could feel so good, how there could be people like these who showed love so freely, and yet those who could hate you when you felt no hatred for them. I would fold into their arms. They did not have a race or color. I just felt safe in their arms. I just felt warm. And I and the babies within me, no one was aware were there yet, were happy. A multiple birth with the 14-year-old, his father, a neighbor, two, all being possible fathers, if not more. I loved my fellow students' arms. I went from wanting to die and feeling so much pain to relaxing into hugs, some of them actually holding me for a long time. My anemia from the rape making me tired, but affection making me joyful. Love walked into the door, looked me deeply in my eyes, and pressed me into its arms. I closed my eyes and relaxed in it, knowing love, knowing it was more powerful than hate in every manner and always would be. Love takes great class notes for you and staples them twice in the upper left-hand corner. And I'm putting the manuscript together with the poems, these poems, but also there are other poems. They're the usual female happy poems and all that stuff like that that people expect from you. But sometimes I feel that the guts of your work is more important because it might change what a person might do to someone. It might change the way the world works if we write that guts of your work. This last one is called Child's Play. This one is also dedicated to my sister Evelyn, who died in 2015, but was my best running buddy, my coffee buddy, my going anywhere buddy, my you're a spoiled brat, but I will take you to the mall so you can look for a pair of shoes or something, buddy. Child's Play. Sunlight dances through a side window in my bedroom. I am a child who lays barely washed, punished, and pregnant at home. My hair is tufted in and out. My mother is tired from work and my care and the hang-up calls, gunshots, and murder threats from the local KKK. I begin to write poetry to pass the time. It is a sweet gift, a tender mercy. I wait for the footsteps of my sisters and brothers, so alone. Then my sister Evelyn comes rushing in, showing me art projects, her A papers, and tittering with sweet laughter and jokes. She makes me get up from bed, and we sing, "Ring around the rosy, a pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down." Turning in a circle, laughing to tears, it goes on and on. Then I plead for rest. Later that evening, as I'm resting, but awake, I feel my stomach moving in a concentric circle in a rhythmic manner again and again with a sudden stop. I place my sister's hand on my stomach, then two hands. "Don't you get it?" she laughs. "They're playing Ring Around the Rosie in there. They must have liked it." I relax with my hand on my stomach for a while and smile. Such a warm feeling. Multiple players. I like the feeling. And please, they are happy. I think I can sleep with this pleasure and go to sleep. Ring around the rosy continues. My beautiful, my blessed miracle children, my miracle life. Thank you.